eternal life, we share that portion at that point. As we look at the church today and the mission that the Lord gave us, gave first of all through to the disciples, and going back to Acts chapter 1, where Jesus told the disciples to go back to Jerusalem and wait there, and they would be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And once they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, then they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And then he says, then it's going to spread throughout the world, the uttermost parts of the world. And we are the uttermost parts of the world. From where Jesus made that great statement to the disciples, and that includes us as well. And I don't think we hear enough messages about sharing and how to reach people. And that needs to be an individual goal, I believe, for each one of us as professing Christians. Because when you look at statistics, George Barna is one of the resources that does statistics on churches and the trend of the century. And he reports some amazing facts. One of his statements was that most Americans, including professing Christians, believe that people are inherently good and that their primary purpose is to enjoy life as much as possible. And somewhat that is true, that we are to enjoy life, but inherently, you know, we're not going to just enter heaven without making that preparation. And some of the statistics that he came up with was that 38% believe that it doesn't matter what religious faith that you follow because they all teach the same thing. Well, that's not true, is it? We all don't teach the same truth about the Word of God, and 38% of people believe that. 44% believe that all people will experience the same outcome after death, regardless of their religious beliefs. That's not true either, but 44% of people he surveyed believe this. And then 55% believe that if a person is generally good or does enough good things for other people during their life, they will earn a place in heaven. And that's not true either, is it? But that's 55% of the people in the world believes that. So it lets us know that people are not being taught or tell the story of Jesus as we sang this morning. And in our scripture today, we're looking at a lady that came to Jacob's well to draw water, and Jesus didn't just happen to be there. This was a preordained appointment that Jesus was going to be there, and this lady came. In a Christian Theology magazine, it says, it is easy to determine when something is aflame. It ignites other material. Any fire that does not spread will eventually goes out. And that's true, isn't it? Then he says, and a church without evangelism is a contradiction in terms, just as a fire is that does not burn is also a contradiction. So to help us, or to help people to have eternal life, I want to share some things with you this morning. How that we can tell people the story of Jesus and help them find eternal life. And the first way is to approach people tactfully. If you look with me here in verse 7, when the Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Wasn't that pretty tactful? Jesus sitting there said, "Would you give me a drink of water?" See, even though Jesus knew that this woman was from a hated mixed people, and she was a race, and she was living in sin with a man who was not her husband, the Lord showed her love. That's compassion. He didn't condemn her right off the bat. He addressed her very tactful. And you know, when you meet someone or you want to share with someone, we need to use discernment from the Lord. Discernment is a way to deal with people in a tactful manner. You see, a considerate person has a delicate perception of the right thing to say and do it without offending. And that's what Jesus did here. He did not offend this lady. She was kind of curious that a Jew would be asking a Samaritan lady for water, because that was something that Jewish people did not do. They didn't associate, or they didn't want to have anything to do with people outside the Jewish nation. So the most considerate people have acquired the art or the knowledge of dealing with difficult situations and people in a calm, poised, and respectful way. So here in this verse, Jesus shows us that the gospel is for everyone, no matter what race, no matter who they are, social position, background, or even their past sin. And Jesus knew everything about this lady. Everything, because he calls her out on it. So, when you look at this passage of Scripture, John chapter 4, Jesus gives us the example of the gospel at any time, at any place, and we can share it in a discernment way, or tactful way. So using discernment shows us how to cross all the barriers to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't know how many of you, if I should take a survey, how many of you have actually sat down with someone or met with someone, and you've had that opportunity to just share the good news of Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, if you would think about sharing or the ultimate, the word I'm looking for is the ultimate blessing of sharing and seeing one to accept Jesus Christ. You know what? If you've had a bad day, that would brighten it up. There's nothing more rewarding than sharing with someone that you know that is lost, and they know that they are lost, and they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What such a blessing that is. And Jesus gives us an excellent example of that. Secondly, to help people find eternal life, we need to stir up a deep interest. Look in verse 10. Jesus answers the Samaritan lady, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." See, Jesus shows us how to stir up people. See, it's very simple. First of all, you approach people tactfully, and now you stir up a deep interest. You're getting inside this person's interest and finding out what they like to do in life, or reminding them of something that maybe that you're compatible with. But Jesus right here, he shows us how to stir up people's interest to learn about more spiritual matters. And that's where you're driving. You won't go to the spiritual matters. Sometimes you look at the physical things in life, but you want to move into the spiritual matters in their life. And this is what Jesus did. See, people who consistently bring others to faith in Christ have learn how to bring to mind some of the things, the feelings, the positive response for the gospel. Teachers, and a lot of you here are teachers, and you probably know this statement. It is often not what you say, but how we say it that determines the effectiveness of our communication. That is true. So, Jesus told the woman that she could get living water that would quench all of her emotions, all of her physical, all of her spiritual thirst forever. If someone came up and said, "I offer you living water," you won't thirst anymore when you say, "Give me some of that." If you knew nothing about the gospel, if you knew nothing about Jesus Christ, and someone, and I tell you what, people all over the world, in the United States, are hungry and thirsty and searching for something for their lives. And they've looked in all places, all corners of the world. Maybe in their job, and maybe in pleasure or leisure things, or worldly things, or their possessions, and they're still not happy. The world is full of people like this, and that's why we get this kind of results from people who really don't know anything about their spiritual life, but are searching something to fulfill that spiritual life, and that's what they're looking for. Something that will quench their emotional, physical, and spiritual thirst forever. See, this intrigued the woman so much that she wanted to know more about this living water. And you see, only Jesus is able to satisfy that thirsty soul, fill that longing heart with what is good. So when we don't know ourselves how to approach or how to address or discern how to approach someone, all we got to do is ask the Lord to give us greater gift in moving people's interest for spiritual solutions to their problems. Because everybody has problems. How many here this morning has a problem? Yeah, we do, don't we? And too often we try to solve it ourselves or go to someone else and say, "Hey, you know, help me fix this." When we need to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, you have the answers for all things. And you're the one I'm coming to." And the Lord will give you the answer to your situation. He'll help you work it out. I promise you that. But you got to be patient sometime, right? You might have dug yourself so far down deep in the well or something that you can't find any handles or anything to grab a hold of, and you're just hanging there like a cliffhanger trying to figure out, how am I get out of this? How can I get out of this? And here Jesus was offering a woman who was distressed out. She had to be stressed out with her life, knowing who she was, knowing she was hated, despised, and being used in life. And Jesus was there to relieve her of all her worries. Now look with me in verse 15. In order to lead people or help people find eternal life, we need to create an intense desire. Look in verse 15. The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Give me some of that water. I won't have to come back here anymore. Well, little did she know, she has to still drink water. But he was going to give her something that would satisfy her eternally forever. See, many physical desires parallel with our spiritual needs in life. See, Jesus just knew how to use this similarity to open up the woman's mind so that earnestly she would beg for the living water. She came for the physical water, but he was going to give her eternal water. See, the woman did not even understand all that the living water consisted of, but she knew that she needed it in the worst way. And when you think about it, people do not have to understand everything, do they? How many of us understand everything that we read in the Bible? We don't, do we? I've been 4 years at Bible college, 4 years of seminary, and all the other continual educational and theology and everything, and I still don't know everything about the Bible. But I do know enough that I was able to meet the Lord and Savior. I know He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And I know that the Bible teaches us how that we are to live and conduct and serve and witness for Him. And everything else that we learn is just like a deeper blessing in our life. To help people to find eternal life, we need to produce a sense of conviction. Look with me in verse 16 and 17. Jesus told her, "Go call your husband and then come back." And what was her response? "I have no husband," she replied. See, Jesus knew exactly how to use the Word of God to allow the Spirit to bring conviction of sin to the woman without turning her off. See how compassionate Jesus was? See, Jesus knew she wasn't married, and the man she was living with wasn't her husband. And to convict is to bring one to an understanding of the guilt deep within one's conscience. And that's what Jesus was doing. And when we don't understand that, all we got to do is ask the Lord to use the Word of God to bring the truth upon our conscience or to the person we witnessed to or that we were speaking to, that they might understand that the Holy Spirit will help them and will convict them of their sin. See, this may take time. You might have to talk to a person more than just one time. I know Charles Spurgeon talked to a man 54 times before he led him to Christ. And I've talked to people many, many times like that as well, but not that many times before I led them to Christ. But you might have to wait. You know, it takes time. But with patience and persistent prayer, you will see how the Spirit of God creates conviction in most calloused minds. See, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. If we're willing to be vessels for the Lord, to be His spokesmen, to be the instrument that He wants to use in all of us, He will do it. And it may take time, but through prayer and patience and persistent prayer, the Spirit of God creates a conviction in someone's heart, and you will be able to lead them to Jesus Christ. Now, to help people find eternal life, we need to encourage a verbal confession. And reason I say this, I want to go back to the Garden of Eden. In any of these times when the Heavenly Father spoke to people, or when Jesus spoke to people, or when he healed people, just like Adam and Eve, where they hid from God, he asked where they were, and they said, "Well, here we are." And he said, "Why did you hide?" And we were afraid. Why were you afraid? Did you sin? Did you eat of the fruit? Yes, they did. And see, Jesus knew exactly where they were. Our Heavenly Father knew exactly where Adam and Eve were. They were hiding. But you see, he needed a confession from them. He needed them to recognize that they had sinned against him. The woman that was healed of the blood disease, that touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and the Spirit of God flowed through him into that woman and healed her. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Well, look at all these people around us. It could have been anybody." Jesus said, "No. It's a person. One person did it." And a lady confessed, "It was I, Lord." You see, Jesus knew who it was. He just needed confession. And he said, "You're healed. Your sins are forgiven." You see, he needs a confession from us. He needs a confession for anyone who's willing to follow him as Lord and Savior. So we need a verbal confession. Look in verse 28-29. "Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me everything I have ever done.'" See this? To help people go through this process, and that's what Jesus was leading her through this process. And to make it very simple, it can be the ABC of becoming a Christian. First of all, A, to admit that you are a sinner and need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. And then, from there, you believe in Christ by trusting him to be atonement for sin, for the forgiveness of his sin. You see, admit and believe. And then finally, C, call upon the name of the Lord. In Romans 10:9-10, it says, "If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you shall be saved." And in verse 13, it says, "Whosoever believes upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Or whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So it's very simple. You see, ABC. Simple is elementary, isn't it? Admit, believe, and call upon the name of the Lord. And then we want to encourage the person to witness. And that's one of the things that I always encourage someone that ever makes a profession of faith in Christ. First, we thank the Lord, and tell them, "Welcome to the family of God." But now, what an awesome responsibility, a privilege that you have to share what you've just received with someone else. Look in verse 39. The Samaritan lady, she went back to her hometown, Samaria, and she was telling all of her friends and her family what had just happened. "Come and believe and meet the man who knows everything about my life. And I'm sure he'll tell you everything about yourself. You got to meet him." And see the response here in verse 39, John chapter 4, verse 39. "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's" what? testimony or her witness. You see, it only took one. It only takes you to make a difference in someone else's life. And you see, it's just like a domino effect. When you share your faith with someone and the Holy Spirit is already at work in that person's life, and you know, you'll know, because the Holy Spirit will testify with you about that person you're witnessing to. And sometimes, you know, I witness to a person and I know down deep in my heart that they're really close and the Holy Spirit is really working. And it's not for me to say when they're ready to be saved, but the Lord will lead them at the right time, the right moment, for you to witness and share. And it might be just that very moment somebody says yes to the Holy Spirit. See, witnessing is simply sharing the good news about Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Apollos and Paul were ministering and going about teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Paul was telling the church there at Corinth, yes, I planted, and Apollos, he's watering. And all of these other disciples behind us are sharing the gospel, and he's using us to share the gospel. But you know what? All that we do, God is going to give the increase. It is the Lord who gives the increase. Bill Bright, who was a Campus Crusade for Christ director, has said, "Be someone who inspires people to greater courage to share their faith. Be a means to provide hope for those who hesitate to witness. Provide confidence for those people by asking them with you to do evangelism so that they can learn godly manners." And it says, "Most people need the encouragement from others to consistently share their faith with the lost." Then I would say, ask the Lord to empower your own heart to witness to others, to love them just like Jesus. You know, if you ask the Lord, "Lord, help me to be your witness," you know what? He may bring you to a well and somebody come to draw water, and you can offer them living water. It's just that simple. And there's three things I want to close with. Three guidelines, three principles to help leading people to Christ. First of all, and this is kind of like evangelism lifestyle, be kind to people. Be kind to them. Secondly, seek their interest. See what they're interested in. Make a connection with them. And then, once you make that connection, win them to Christ. Show them what he has done for you. And just like this Samaritan lady here, she found the living water. And I promise you, if you are faithful in allowing God to speak through you to someone else and win them to Christ, it will make your day. You'll forget about everything else that's going on in your life. For that one moment, you're going to be walking on cloud nine, because it's such a tremendous blessing to see people come to the Lord. And see, that's how God grows his church, through you speaking to people, witnessing to them, sharing with them, inviting them, being kind to them. finding an interest and connecting with them that way. And then you can win them to Christ. It's simple as ABC, right? ABC. Very simple. And God has the master plan. And He'll bless your life if you're willing to just be His vessel. Our Father God, we thank You this morning for this message. We thank You that we have all kind of examples in Your Word, in the Bible. How Jesus ministered, how He witnessed. And they were placed there for us to follow. It's a commandment that we go. And as we go, we tell people about Jesus. We sung about it this morning. We sing about a lot of different songs about serving, witnessing, living the Christian life. But how often do we actually follow through and apply that in our lives? We often sing, "I surrender all," but how often do we surrender our lives? Take my life and let it be concentrated wholly to Thee. Lord, I pray this morning that we are, each and every one of us, to search our own lives individually and say, "Lord, how can I be a witness to You? How can I share a testimony with someone else?" And asking that question, we can say, "Lord, use me or send me. Let me be Your vessel. Give me an opportunity so that I can be a part of adding to Your kingdom." Lord, whatever the decisions are this morning, maybe it's someone here lost this morning that doesn't know You personally as their Savior and Lord. Just like this Samaritan lady, there is living water here today because Your presence is here. And You offer living water, salvation, eternal life forever and ever. Lord, we thank You for this time that You give us to respond to Your invitation. And we pray, Lord, this morning, that if there's anyone here, whatever the decision may be, take this opportunity to come to You. We praise You and we thank You in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hymn of invitation this morning is 371, "Have Thine Way, O Lord." Let us stand as we sing. You come, I'll be here to pray with you, talk with you. Whatever God is leading you to do, do it right now as we sing.